it must be Rich with his finger on the button. You have a good chuckle, Rich.
What I'm having trouble with, this is Lois again, is Lois Camps. It doesn't seem like we're going to move her any further than we have at this point with our brown bag lunch vigils.
Yeah.
I was there again last month. Her assistant told me that she can't do this right now, co-sponsor these bills, because of the redistricting she has to win in North County, and that's where Vandenberg Air Force Base is.
Mm.
Yeah. So I'm trying to convince her, wouldn't it be better for the troops if we brought them home? You know, we keep telling her that their families would be a lot happier if we brought them home. I saw that military families are overwhelmingly in favor of Ron Paul right now. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, interesting.
And he gets what he wants
to do. And he wants to end the war right now.
Absolutely. So this is pretty interesting. Anyway, good to be here.
Good. You have been after Lois Cash for a long time. Barbara Ann, are you part of a brown bag vigil?
Well, yes. Our congressman doesn't allow, the site does not allow any congregating and so forth, so we just deliver letters. So we have.
Hi, there's a lot of people coming on the call. Would people please say their name?
Okay, my name is Murray Beaver. I'm from New Rochelle, New York.
Murray Beaver.
Steve Cobble in D.C.
Oh, hi, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Bart Bolger in Corvallis, Oregon.
Terrence Dixon, Augusta, Georgia.
Hi, Terrence.
Hey, how you doing, Sally?
Hi, Terrence. Carl here.
Hey, Carl. How's it going, man?
Okay.
Hey, Terrence.
Virginia's online.
Hey, Virginia, Andrea, how y'all doing tonight?
Hey, Virginia, yeah. Good.
I didn't get the name of the person from Corvallis. What is your name?
It's Bart Bolger.
Mark.
Bart, B-A-R-T.
Ah, yes. You registered for the call. I have. Bart, are you part of a brown bag vigil in Corvallis?
I'm not aware of that right now.
Okay.
This is Duncan McFarland from United for Justice with Peace in Boston and UFPJ.
Say your name again, please.
My name is Duncan, D-U-N-C-A-N.
Hi.
McFarland.
Yes, I saw your registration. And you're from Boston?
Yes.
And you're part of both UFPJ and what else?
It's Michael Eisenhower.
Hi, Michael. Duncan, you gave another organization?
Also United for Justice with Peace in Boston. That's the sort of the largest peace coalition in the Boston area.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Steve Weir from Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Say your name again, please.
Steve Weir from Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Hi, Alice from Bisbee on.
Hey, Alice.
Hey, Virginia.
This is Mark, Mark Levin from Maryland.
Hi, Mark.
Greetings.
Hi.
I'm Joe Heyer from Pennsylvania.
Is your first name is Gil?
Joe. Excuse me, Joe.
Joe.
Yeah.
And your last name is what?
Heyer, H-E-Y-E-R.
And the state was Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Thank you. Would other people like to give their name?
Dave Sonneborn from Orange County.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Anybody else? Anybody else want to say their name?
I think I already did, Alice Bisbee.
Hi, Alice.
Michael Howard.
Please say your name again.
I'm sorry?
Please say your name again.
Michael Howard.
Michael Howard, Virginia.
Yes. Okay. Where do you live, Michael?
Virginia.
Alexandria.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Michael.
Sounds like,
hi, how are you?
Like Andrea knows you.
Oh, hi, Andrea. How are you? Good to see
you.
Okay.
Would people say their names when they're coming on, please?
David Fine in Housatonic, Massachusetts.
Housatonic?
Yes.
Ah, the Berkshires.
it's a part of Great Barrington.
Yes. Was there anyone else that just came on? Hello? Would you say your name?
No, I don't think so.
Is there anyone who has not said their name that would like to?
Hi, this is Mary Lickert.
Yes, okay.
Mary, where are you from?
I'm from Charleston, West Virginia.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Sally, it's Tim Carpenter, Western Mass, on the line.
what organization are you part of, Tim?
I work with Sally Weiss and Broadband Vigil, CD2, formerly Richard Neal.
Oh, we're going to have a time with him next week, huh?
Yeah, I'm going, boy, we're just letting anybody on these calls.
It's going to be public on Thursday, Sally. We can sing it wide and high.
Okay. Does anyone
hey,
else want to say
yes,
their name?
Yes, I'm on the line. Yes.
Oh, pardon? Go ahead.
David Fine, Housatonic, Massachusetts.
Yes, yes. Thank you, David. From nearby. All right.
Yeah, hello.
Who's saying hello?
Yes, I don't know. Are you speaking to me? David Fine.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good. We have you. Okay. Virginia, you want to take it from here?
Yes, I would welcome everybody to the call. My name is Virginia Hoffler. I'm the co-coordinator with Sally Weiss of the End Wars Not Solutions. The first thing we'd like you to do is, if you are in front of your computer, we would like you to get on to pdacommunity.org. During our conversation tonight, we are going to be referring to a couple of documents that are on that website. If
can you repeat that, Virginia?
pdacommunity.org.
Good, thanks.
That was PDA. T as in Tom?
No,
Progressive Democrats of America. PDA.
pdacommunity.com.
Somebody was talking over you, and I still didn't hear it.
Is it one word? PDA community?
Yes.
Okay.
And if you go there and then go to download, up at the top across, there's home, issues, blog, resources, about PDA, and then downloads.
I'm just writing down.
I'm behind.
Okay. And I love
Hang on just 1 minute. I think I have made this a little bit easier. My computer is working again for a moment. This is Andrea. Hang on 1 second. Actually, if you go to the End Wars and Occupations page, when you get to community on the right side, you'll see End Wars and Occupations. Click on that, and it's in the chat room.
Is this in the home page?
Do you hear me?
Yes, this will be on the home page.
My internet is down.
Are we on PDA community? Is that correct?
Yes.
You are correct.
And then we go to the End Wars and Occupations?
That is correct. It is on the right-hand side near the top.
Oh, I...
Thank you, Alice.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, very, very good. And then when you come down the page, when you get to the End Wars and Occupations page, you will get to see a very lovely picture of Sally and Virginia. Our agenda is right below, and if you go down a little bit lower, you will see the End Wars and Occupations chat room, and there is link to the folder that has the materials we reference right there in the chat room for you.
Okay. Now,
internet is down now. Can I follow just without computer, just listen in?
Yes, you can follow this, and that document will remain in the chat room. So when your internet comes back up later tonight or tomorrow, you'll be able to go and get the document out of the chat room. It'll be there for you.
Okay. I am now in the bridge. By the end of the bridge, Julian Media Benjamin. On Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time? Is that what it is?
Looks like you've got some older information, but it sounds like you're on the right page. Yeah. So there's a chat room there. It says End Wars and Occupations. Just come down to it.
Andrea?
Below the agenda.
Andrea, will you be able to keep this open for about 48 hours?
Yes.
Okay.
Not a problem. Yes, it'll just be there.
Yeah, I closed down my computer. I'll have to fly home tomorrow, so I won't have access again until Thursday. Thank you.
Right. I won't clear it. I'll tell you what. I'll just leave it up until the weekend, and then I'll clear the chat room over the weekend.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Andrea?
Yes.
This is Carl. I just think it might help if I would point out that the link that you are talking about has a funny acronym on it. It says ACQSYS. It doesn't.
Username. That's all that is.
Yeah, but people need to know that that's the thing they need.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
First thing on the chat room, the top.
Right. Right. It's a link, and then it's going to take you to the End Wars and Occupations folder. And then in that folder will be all the documents we're going to be talking about tonight.
And the one we want is...
I'm still confused. I have here the page for End Wars and Occupation / Redirect Funding Mission. Is that what it is? Or am I on the wrong page?
Yes, that's it.
That's right.
That's it. And where I go now, down...
And you're going to go down on and look on the right-hand side, and it will say End Wars and Occupations Chat Room.
End Wars and Occupation.
It's right below the agenda.
Yeah, but there is no chat room. It's just End Wars and Occupations. BDA issues.
There may be, your computer doesn't have Flash loaded. So, Michael, I'll send it to you later.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, but you were in the right place. That was very good.
And you can use the chat room during the call to, talk to us. We're having a speaker, Steve Cobble, and so you can ask him questions by the chat room. And by voice, too, after he's finished.
And so, Steve, are you on the line?
I'm on the line.
Okay, good. Steve's here for me. All right, we're going to get started now. Please take a look at those documents if you can. It's the target list, and there's a whole list listing all the congressional representatives and who has signed on to 780 and who has not. And especially the target list I want you to look at. Bart Bolger, are you Leah Bolger's husband?
Yeah, that's correct, and I'm with Veterans for Peace here in Corvallis.
Right, great, thanks. I know Leah. I've been following her trial, she didn't go to trial. She pled guilty, right? Maybe you can give us an update on that a little bit later in the call.
Okay, I'd be happy to.
Okay, great. So I'd like to introduce Steve Cobble. Steve is currently working with Free Speech for People against Citizens United. He's also been with PDA since the beginning in Roxbury in July of 2004. He's a longtime anti-war activist. That's why he joined the McGovern campaign in New Mexico back in 72, and then he worked for Jesse Jackson, Ralph Nader in 2000, Dennis Kucinich in 2004 and 2008. He's an associate fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies and co-founder of After Downing Street. Steve wants to talk to us about the climate right now. Now is the time for us to talk to our candidates. Steve, take it away.
Hi, everybody. Thanks, Virginia.
Hi.
Thanks, Sally. I'm not sure I have lots of profound things to say that you don't already know, since we've been doing this, fighting these wars and occupations now for a decade. My personal belief is that between about 2002 and 2008, the anti-war movement actually did pretty much what we were supposed to do. We did pretty much everything right. And it translated into massive worldwide protests before a war ever started in Iraq. It translated into pretty quick public opposition to the war in Iraq, and now by now the war in Afghanistan, people are, you know, 70% ready to get out. There were two wave elections fueled largely by Katrina and disgust with the wars in 2006, and Barack Obama would not be president if it wasn't for anti-war voters in Iowa, and his opposition, however conditional that now seems to be sometimes in, on the Iraq war, that was the difference, main difference between him and Hillary Clinton in many ways, and that was the argument he used against John McCain to show that even though he was young and inexperienced, he had better judgment than the guys that had been running this town. And then we all know what happened then. They gave up. And there's some theories going around that that was our fault because we didn't raise enough hell with him. I certainly wouldn't have objected if liberals in Washington and around the country had raised more hell with Obama, but I don't actually agree that they cared for the first 2 years. I think they made a conscious decision to triangulate off of us, and wouldn't have mattered much what we did. But that's different now. I don't know how much different it is, but I think that it's different from now until Election Day. They're nervous. They think they need our votes. They're worried about lack of enthusiasm among voters that voted for Barack Obama last time. And it seems to me that that means we should push as hard as we can to prevent a war with Iran, to solidify and move up getting out of Afghanistan as much as we can, and as a non-trivial side note to this, we need to do what we can to put Norman Solomon in the Congress, because he's not just another congressman. He's, especially with Lynn Woolsey retiring and Dennis Kucinich beaten in the gerrymandered primary, we need some more of us going to the House of Representatives, people who have stood up against these wars before it was popular to be against these wars, somebody that we know is one of us. And I think that's a, you know, this is somebody who grew up with PDA and likes us, and we love him, and that's an important thing for us to do. And it's also a way of expressing our, you know, intensity on the war. And then the last part of this is these upcoming, the gathering, the NATO gathering in Chicago and the G8 gathering in Camp David, as Occupy Wall Street kicks into gear again after the winter. And I think we'll probably talk about that a little bit. I honestly don't know what to think of that. I think we need to, the people around the world are going to express their opinion about whether NATO should stay in Afghanistan, and that's a good thing. I'm frankly quite nervous about Rahm Emanuel's propensity for macho behavior, and of course the Chicago Police Force has a well-deserved reputation for aggressive behavior historically, and Occupy hasn't, as near as I can tell, watching from here, doesn't seem like they've quite decided what to do with their diversity of tactics, which means that there's a possibility of, there's certainly a possibility of provocateurs and violence and knocking back some of the great work that Occupy has done over the last 6 months. So I'm sure I don't have any special insight or opinion into that. I'm sure everybody here has thoughts on that and opinions on it, but I do think it's something that is going to be a key thing coming up in the next 5 or 6 weeks. As far as PDA, I think we work on the Solomon campaign. We continue our brown bags as we have been doing, and as Virginia mentioned, we press as much as we can to add co-sponsors to Barbara Lee's HR 780, which is the to get out of Afghanistan, and then along with everybody else who's opposed to it, we find ways to continue to press all of the people running for office that we do not want to go to war with Iran. And I think whatever influence we have now, it's probably more than what we will have in a year, no matter which way the which leader of the major party becomes president of the United States. And the only caveat to that is if the Democrats take back the House, that empowers the Progressive Caucus to some extent, which means that empowers our best friends in the House. And so that's something we can't, you know, say it's going to take 25, 26 seats to do that and a whole lot of money, so we can't have a major impact on that, but we may be able to help win a seat or two that can help turn that tide. And if they're won specifically in part because of opposition to wars, that would be a big help in pushing the caucus to be more aggressive on that next year. But with that exception of taking back the House, which would be a big advantage, but on the other fronts we have probably less influence in a year because they won't be running, and they frankly care less about what we think when they're not running for office. So I think, I don't know, Virginia, should I just stop there and have more discussion or talk?
Well, what I'd like to hear also is, you know, you're right, you know, now's the time. If they don't listen to us now, they probably never will, you know, until they are running for office again. But what I've run into a lot, and maybe you could help us on this, is that I've been to a representative's office. I tell him what I want him to do, sign on to HR 780. They're very polite. They listen to me, and then I never hear from them again. I mean, obviously, I keep going back with the brown bag vigils, but what else can we do to help figure out where they stand on these issues, if they're absolutely not going to sign on, or if they're, particularly if they're Democrats, how do we go about maybe getting the other Democrats in the state, the other representatives to put pressure on them, other ones who have signed on? What any recommendation like that? Anything?
Well, I think one of the ways that we can do it is as they're campaigning, we probably have to bird dog them a little, and they don't like negative publicity. And we got to, if we've been polite and we've asked them repeatedly and we can't get an answer, then we probably need to call a few of them out and then make it clear to other ones that we will do that.
Like maybe a letter to the editors? Or
Yeah, letters to the editors. Why can't we get an answer from our representative? It's been 10 years now. It's been plenty of time for you to decide about Afghanistan or if the subject is Iran. You know, why won't you promise that, you know, invading Iran's not going to be your first thought at the day after the election? I think being polite and meeting with them and doing the brown bag in a very friendly, nonviolent, civilized way is obviously the best way to start. But if they take advantage of that to not respond, then I think we have to raise the stakes a bit. And they are aware that most of their Democratic voter constituents are opposed. They want us out of Afghanistan. They just don't think that they'll vote on it, and they think they can slide past it and not have to take a position, and that's what they would prefer. So I think we have to be probably a little more active and a little more visible in order to get them to sign on. And, of course, it's tricky, right?
Like,
the problem with the two-party system is that it you have to do that without – you want to sting them without wounding them, I guess, is the problem. And that's a – you know, it's a tough tightrope.
We need more than a little more. We need a lot more. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
I'm hearing you.
You said a little more.
Yeah. What do you mean, though? What?
Well, you got to confront them and at these meetings and say, you want my vote or don't you want my vote? I mean, you got to sort of, I guess, make it one way or the other. Either you're going to be for this war or getting out of this war, or you're not going to get my vote. I mean, something pretty basic, because as long as you give them an out, they're going to take it. That's just my opinion.
I tend to think that's true. I mean, I know how much work PDAers have put into the brown bags and talking about this, and it's kind of astounding.
The only thing they understand is votes. If you say that your votes, they're not going to get your vote. That they understand that.
Well, I would temper that to say that's the only thing they understand from us. They actually understand money really well too. We don't have any of that.
Yeah, Steve, this is Terrence in Georgia.
Yeah.
And I think you did an excellent analysis, but I would just kind of add a couple of things. One is that your analysis of the progressive movement and Barack Obama. Well, we technically never asked anything of him, really. I think, you know, once there certain agreements were made, that we didn't really put anything really on front of him that I could see that we could really hold him to. That was number one. Number two, Rahm Emanuel kind of messed over us not once but twice, once to the Clinton administration and then again under Obama, as chief of staff. And so I just, you know, I just be honest with you. The bottom line is that we, you know, the progressive movement, you know, all we can try to do is kind of learn from our mistakes, toughen up, and just let them know that election time is coming up. I'm glad we're deciding that we got to strike now. But we, you know, we just got to
enjoy the Barbara Bryant.
That people are gonna, in a way that people are gonna, you know, hear from us. So. We're going to do everything we can in Georgia to get Norman. We're going to step up our assistance to Norman Solomon. So just want to let you know that.
This is Carl.
This is Michael in Oakland. You know, this week, 99% spring is starting to train 100,000 people in direct action, nonviolent direct action. Seems to me that we ought to harness some of that. And if after the polite phase we don't get responses from members of Congress, I think we should begin planning sit-ins in their office and other, you know, raise the ante on them and force the media to cover it so that they understand that there are going to be consequences. That's the only thing they really understand, is favors and consequences.
My name's Barb Obinsky, and I'm going to concur with that. I've got a few things to say here. I've gone to the brown bag vigils. My congressman is a teabag person who was ever in his office. I went to deliver a letter, and the best I could do was have his representative sign for the letter. It's never going to be read. These people don't listen. And I agree with tying the Occupy movement in with the war effort, simply because the war effort is one of America's biggest money-making endeavors. Our economy is almost entirely, not entirely, but a great portion of our economy runs around the war effort, big oil, etc. Our America's main thrust of our economy really centers around war. If you think about it, a lot of things that we make, we don't make so many things anymore, but what we do manufacture has a lot to, is linked a lot with war. And I do believe that there is a link, a very vital link that we can make up with the Occupy movement, and I don't think it should be overlooked. And that's all I have to say.
This is Michael Howard. I totally agree with the last said, and I want to add that when we had the decision to go to war, we did not realize what will happen after that war. Like, for example, in Iraq, mm-hmm. Saddam Hussein wanted desperately to have a relation with America. Now, when George Bush attacked Iraq to satisfy Kuwait and went there for the oil, he forgot that his father did not do that, afraid that Iran will have an axis, and now indeed Iran have an axis there, and probably totally will control Iraq. Now with this, what you call it, spring in the Middle East, they helped the Libya, and now Libya is a problem. That's war. Totally lost, or participation in war that is totally lost, especially for Israel. If we talk now about Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood are trying to win there, and the military try to stop him. Now, I heard that some congressmen meet these people. However, we should watch first before in war, because all the war that we get in, it's total loss, and it really lower our status in the world. That's what I have to say.
This is Carl in Massachusetts.
Yes.
I would just like to say, getting back to the point of what we can do to up the ante, I think a very important aspect of it is that even for those who are not ready to go into civil disobedience and occupying the office and things like that, but whatever is done, one needs to have an eye on making it a public thing that the public and the press can know about. The trouble with the brown bags, and even more a problem with a letter drop at a congressman's office, is that nobody knows about it who isn't there. And
exactly.
It's very important that these events are public. And one of the ways is, as Steve Cobble, bird-dogging the campaign tours of candidates at their meetings. You get up and say things in front of the crowd. You challenge them in front of the crowd to respond to a question, things like that. And then the people in the crowd know that it's okay to really push on this issue, and you'll find they agree.
Steve, this is Sally. I wonder if you could make us a little transition note and help us understand how a resolution like Barbara Lee's about withdrawing from Afghanistan, how that functions in Congress. I mean, we're probably not going to have a resolution that quote passes, that we won't probably get over the 200 and whatever votes, but why is it that we need this kind of instrument to help make the point.
Well, I think you're right, Sally. It's unlikely that Barbara Lee is going to pass, even if the Democrats take back the House. We all think that's ridiculous. I mean, it's and not just ridiculous, but immoral.
Criminal.
After 10 years, that we can't go ahead and get out of Afghanistan. But it probably is not going to pass because of the dynamics of the way the Democratic Party is made up, and the Republican Party's almost within one or two people universal rejection of anything humane on foreign policy. So, I mean, next year Ron Paul won't even be there, so there won't even be that vote. And it's not clear. Walter Jones has a tough primary, so it's even some of the few Republican anti-imperialism votes will be gone. Having said that, one reason that most of us are in PDA is that we believe in trying to to push for solutions that would actually deal with the problems that we see. And rather than try to construct trimmed solutions to fit the politics that are there, we try to create new politics around actual solutions. It's a harder job, but it's why we were for single payer instead of creating a public option to start with and stuff and things like that. And so the reason to do Barbara Lee's is to continue to grow the co-sponsor so that people can see that it's getting more and more Democrats, more and more House members are joining on to this, to try to push somebody in the Senate to pick it up.
Yes.
That's actually obscene that not one senator thinks this is worthy of picking up a get out of Afghanistan.
Because you're still going to death class, everybody.
And you keep growing it, and you keep fighting for what is real. And eventually it shows the Speaker and the President that it's possible to do what we think eventually they want to do without penalty.
We pay her $40 a week. It works out clearly.
So.
All right, and one more thing I would say is that Barbara Lee has requested that we get 100 co-sponsors to this bill.
Are you sure?
And we have 70 as of right now.
That's everybody and says. Just write down what you say, and then we'll
Tim,
put it
Tim,
together.
Tim,
Carpenter,
Tim,
star six.
Tim,
hey, Tim, mute. You're on star.
I'll let you read it when it comes out.
Tim, please
Tim,
mute.
You're on the line.
Virginia, I hate to interrupt you, sorry, but we did promise Mike Fox if his phone is working better that he'd have a little slot right now. Important PDA business. Is Mike Fox able to be on?
I am here.
Cases.
Thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it, and please excuse me. The voice is kind of nutty here today. I've been beating on the phone a lot, and it's about half gone. But I just wanted to say, first and foremost, thanks to everybody in the group here for being incredibly active, positive energy, focused on making the world a better place here in a very, very important way, and I'm honored to be involved with a core group of folks who truly have their priorities in the right spot. For those of you who I haven't had a chance to meet yet, I'm the Florida State Coordinator for PDA, likewise a national staffer currently in charge of some of our fundraising, the Change Makes Change program, excuse me, as well as the national phone banking guy whenever we're focused on a specific candidate. I'm the guy who runs the phone banking operation, and some of the folks on this call have stood up with me in those endeavors, and I certainly do appreciate your efforts in those regards. I first got involved in politics as a result of Cindy Sheehan's vigil outside of the Bush Ranch. Jumped in my 1995 Chevy Geo Metro at that time, drove down from upstate New York, and camped with her, and it was arguably a life-changing experience for me, and I've been involved in the peace movement as well as other progressive endeavors since that point. And I just wanted to reinforce what Steve was talking about here, how important it is that we get candidates elected. First and foremost, and a couple other folks on the call had mentioned, really, what do they understand? They understand votes and they understand money. Bottom line, is it an uphill battle? Yes, it is. But can we do this? Yes, we can, especially with the great kind of news that we're getting out of the electoral world right now, with Norman's campaign going quite well, Dr. Gill in Illinois, who is most definitely on board with the peace agenda. He just won a very important primary in Illinois, so I'm very excited about our PDA candidates. And likewise, we had the best online donation month in over a year this past month, so we're definitely on a roll here. People are recognizing the importance of our agenda, and as well as the effectiveness of our tactics, and we're going to have to keep this up in order to hit our goals here by November.
Scan your shopper's card.
And we've got a big fundraiser that folks will be hearing about in California with John Nichols and Tom Hayden coming up here in just a couple of weeks. And while those big events are wonderful, and they can definitely generate substantial donations, what really forms the foundation of PDA is our regular donor base, folks who do the $10, $20, $50, $100 whenever we ask them to, or our Change Makes Change program partners. And I know quite a few of the folks on the line here this evening are already Change Makes Change partners. I certainly appreciate that. It's due to your work that we're moving this forward.
Was advertised as $5.49.
We just wanted to give you a quick math on how we can get this done very quickly. We had mentioned that what do these folks recognize? They recognize money. Well, our response to that is always, well,
we'll take it off because it had a sign below it.
We're
hearing a lot of people. Somebody needs to mute their phones.
It's 12 ounces. It's 12 ounces.
Whoever's in a grocery store right now, please, please star six.
Star six.
Hello.
Okay, Mike.
Okay. We'll try this again. But in any event, wrapping up here, gang, we always – what I really hate for us to fall into is that trap of, oh, my gosh, they've got so much more money than we do. How on earth can we possibly make this happen? Because I've got a formula for you right here, how 17 cents can beat the Koch brothers. 17 cents can beat the Koch brothers. And here's how. PDA right now has almost 100,000 members in our database, almost. So let's just make the math easy. We'll say we got 100,000 members. If each one of those members set aside 17 cents, that's a dime, a nickel, and 2 pennies a day, that's $5 a month. Now, I would ask everybody on the phone to consider for just a second what you can buy in a store for 17 cents. Now, at $5 per month, that's $500,000 per month, which makes us a $6 million organization at 17 cents. Now imagine we take that $100,000 and target it properly into 60 races across the country, $100,000. That's a whole bunch of TV at the end of an election. That's two pieces of mail to 100,000 households, influencing better than 150,000 swing voters. Bottom line, we just won an election with that $100,000 if it's targeted properly. Now, let's say that you don't buy that. We didn't win all of them, okay? We didn't win all 60 races with that $100,000 in each race that we put in, okay? Let's say we did that 70% of the time. Fine. That's 42 new people with our agenda in Congress. Now, we've currently got about 80 who are rock solid for us, right? So we need 218 for a majority. So where are we? We're about 138 short. If we bring 42 new people in per cycle, then we are totally in charge with a majority of – with our agenda in three election cycles. That's 6 years. Now, keep in mind the other side has been working on this for over 40 years, so we do have to show a little bit of patience here. But bottom line, with 17 cents a day, we can be there in three election cycles, given the caveats that I've laid out. Now – turn that 17 cents into 34 cents, three dimes and 4 pennies, that's $10 a month. And you can cut that three cycles down to 1.5 cycles. And honestly, it's just that easy. So I just want to thank everybody on the call here who has already stepped up and donated to PDA in the past. That's absolutely vital. But I'm going to close with the public television approach. And that is, as they're doing a pledge drive, They identify what goal they have. My goal for this call is, we've got 25 people on the phone right now. Some of us are sustainers. Some of us have donated in the past. Some of us have not. But my goal for this call is $250 raised. And if we can get 250, either 25 people to do $10 each or one angel to do 100 or whatever the case may be, the offer that we're making to our new members coming on board is, if you're able to do a $100 donation, you get a new copy, or you get a copy of John Nichols' new book, Uprising, which is a wonderful read if you have not had the opportunity. It's all about the revolution that's going on in Wisconsin. Or for a $10 per month, that's 34 cents a day. You likewise receive that book and our undying respect as well. So what I'm going to do is close here. Thank everyone so much for being active in this regard. I stand in solidarity with you, and I hope that we can raise that this evening while this call is going on by folks going simply to www.pdamerica.org. pdamerica.org, click on the donate button and toss in whatever you can. If you can't do $10, that's fine. Every little bit helps, okay? Thanks so much, and in solidarity, I'll close it there.
Okay, donate button.
Yeah, there's a donate button towards the top of the End the Wars page under the it says take action, and then there's find your local chapter, get printable materials, and become a member and donate.
There's donate buttons at the top of almost every page, too. At the top of the main home page of PDA, it's there, too.
Yep.
Very top.
Okay. So hopefully most of you are online and are looking at our target list for people we need to get signed on to HR 780, which is Barbara Lee's bill to basically defund the war. It says we're going to stop funding the war in Afghanistan except for funds needed to bring the troops home. And that's it. And as all of you who are as old as me will remember, this is how we got out of Vietnam. It really came down to the funding. The Congress finally defunded the war, said no more funds for fighting in Vietnam. And this is Barbara Lee's approach here to get out of Afghanistan. Now, we've picked out people that have signed on to other bills that are that show their desire to get out of Afghanistan, but they have not co-sponsored H.R. 780. We feel this is urgent right now for two reasons. As Steve Koppel just said, now is the time to hit these people with what we want. If they don't talk to us now, they never will. They want our votes. They want our money. So now is the time to let them know that if you want my vote and you want my money and you want my support, you need to sign on to H.R. 780. Also, in May is when they start making up their schedule for what bills are going to get a hearing. So it's really urgent that we get as many people signed on before May 1st as possible. So this is why right now we are really pushing this. We have a target list of about 50, and we need 30 to actually sign on. So we'd like you to look at the list. It's in alphabetical by state. The very left-hand side has the districts, starting with District 4 in Arizona. I'm working on that at Pastor. He is a member. CPC means they are a member of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. These people should be signing on, and they haven't. So please look and see if your representative is on this list. If they are, would you please contact me or Sally, and our email addresses are on the End Wars and Occupation site. Mine is virginiah@pdamerica.org. Sally, where's yours?
It's end-war@pdamerica.org.
And we will send you a letter that's personalized to your district that you can use, and then you can personalize it more if you would like. But something you can take to your district and get other people in your district to sign. You can mail in a bunch of them to your representative. It specifically asks for a response. And that way, if they don't respond to you, you can say, you can honestly go on Facebook, whatever, write a letter to your editor and say, hey, I wrote a letter to my congressman. They're not even responding to me. And put pressure on them that way. Also, next week is Brown Bag Vigil. This is a perfect time to take your letters and deliver them and meet with, if not your congressperson, a representative to discuss face-to-face why you'd like them to sign on to this bill. And if there are any other suggestions, that's what I was kind of getting at with Steve, you know, the if they don't respond, besides the Brown Bag Vigils, there's letters to the editor to sit in. It's, I think, a good way to at least get a response. I think it's unconscionable for congressmen not to at least respond to us, whether they're in our party or not. They still represent us, and that's what they're being paid for by our tax dollars. So they need to respond, and we can't give them an out on that. So if there's any questions, I'm certainly willing to take them, and I'm certainly willing to take names and phone numbers and or email addresses, or you could put them in the chat room, and I can write it down and see who would be willing to help us with this task.
Yeah. Hey, Virginia, this is Terrence in Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Is this call going to be available or a recording be available tomorrow?
Maybe not quite that soon. Rich is on the line here.
Rich?
Okay.
When will the recording be available?
Pretty soon. All ready for summary. There's a lot of non-critical stuff I won't bother to document, so I'll run it off pretty soon.
What does that mean?
Maybe in the next 24 to 48 hours.
Okay.
Probably something like that.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it. That's all I need to know. Thank you, folks.
Terrence, are you in Henry Johnson's district by any chance?
No. I'm in Paul Brown and John Barrow.
Do you know anybody in Henry Johnson's district?
No. Oh, you mean Hank Johnson?
Yes.
Yeah,
Hank.
Yeah, I do. I think I've got I can find somebody in Hank Johnson's district.
All right, let us know, okay? Somebody we can find for? Okay.
Yeah, I'd be glad to do that.
Thank you.
No problem. I'm going to let you know something before the brown bag.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. No problem.
Okay. Are there any other questions? I would really like to hear from Bart Bolger and find out what's going on with Leah's situation. She did, as president of Veterans for Peace nationally, but last year during the super committee hearing, she did speak up about the fact that all of our problems could be solved if we got out of the war and taxed the rich. Those are the two things she spoke about passionately. And I understand she just went to court last week, was it, or earlier this week, and pleaded guilty. Do you want to tell us about that, Bart? Are you still on the line?
Yeah, sure. The schedule actually is her hearing, her trial is on Thursday, the 12th. And she'll be doing a press conference that morning just before, but she intends to plead guilty because there's really no denying what she did. C-SPAN captured it rather nicely. And she's really using this as an opportunity to connect with the media and through various tools to get the message out that that's exactly it. You know, she interrupted the congressional budget office guy that was talking about percent of GDP and so forth, all this crazy stuff, and she just made it very plain that the 99% of us want us to increase taxes on the rich and cut war spending. So I'm going to post on the chat room here in just a minute a link that a fellow produced a really good 2-minute video of her session, you know, when she interrupted the super committee. Ben Cohen of Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream does the narration, does some on-camera work in there. I'm going to post a link to that And also, Leah appeared on Tom Hartman's TV show last night, and I've got a YouTube link for that as well, just a short interview on there. Any other questions about what she's got going on?
Where is she in trial? Is she in D.C. for this hearing?
Yes, yes. I don't know exactly which court, but it's she's in D.C. In fact, that's why she was able to go on Tom Hartman in person last night.
Okay, well, that's great. But I also noticed, isn't your representative DeFazio?
Yeah, we just switched over from Kurt Schrader, a blue dog, to Peter DeFazio. And, you know, we will certainly get to work on him. I notice he's not signed on to 780 yet either, so we can do our little part on that.
Okay, great. Can I send you, will you give me your email address, or when you put your other stuff on the chat room, send me your email address so I can send you a letter I have prepared?
Sure, absolutely. I logged in with my Facebook account, so
okay.
You can just send it to that.
Okay.
That address there. That first link that I'm posting there is the Ben Cohen video. The second one that I just put up is the Tom Hartman interview, and that takes you right to the segment where Leah starts her interview.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank Leah for all she's done. I've met her several times in D.C., and she's
I'll certainly pass that on. Is this Virginia?
Yes.
Okay, I will certainly pass that on. Thanks for asking about her.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions?
Does anybody see a representative where that's your representative, and you see they might be leaning toward this but haven't done it? Can anyone identify that? I know we have Lois Hamilton on the line. She has one of those.
Well, Lois says she's contacting CAPS.
What do you need, Virginia? What do you need, Sally? Well, just, I mean, your representative is good on many things, but not on things about the war, correct?
Well, not the 780. She did send the letter.
Mm-hmm.
It went out asking Obama, from Congress, asking Obama not to go to war in Iran, use diplomacy. And she did one of the other things that's on that list. It shows three
yeses. Yeah, she signed on to H.R. 1735, the McGovern bill.
Yeah. But the 780 and joining, see, I'm trying to get her to join the Progressive Caucus. And now I see that all the Progressive Caucus members are not signed on.
Correct.
That's absurd. That's crazy.
You need to get them on there.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to give up.
Okay.
Thanks,
Lois. All right. Anybody else on the line who's willing to give us some help here?
Alice on the line. You know, I'm in Bisbee. I'm in. I was in Gabriel Gifford's district, and we're in the middle of an election for Ron Barber taking Gabriel Gifford's seat for these. Lunatic Republicans. And Ron Barber's kind of where Gabrielle Giffords was, so he's a blue dog, more or less. But I've definitely been on his case, and we'll stay there.
Good.
And
right,
I want to say one more thing, the drone bombing. We're also drone bombing all over the place.
Yes, we are.
I don't know where that fits in, but I found that enormously upsetting.
Yes, Alice.
All right.
I asked if Mark Levin, who was on the line tonight, wanted to say anything about the NATO summit.
I don't have a lot to add to Steve's concerns other than to say there are so many people. I mean, if you look at the sponsor list for the the major Chicago coordinated effort. There are well over 120 organizations. Some of them are individuals, or some of them are organizations with 5 or 6 members, and a lot of them I don't know at all. But you know what? Maybe the most helpful thing to say is I had a similar feeling to Steve's when Occupy happened, very much the same, because I looked at some of the organizers. We have two here in the. Although one is kind of packed up and gone inside, but they're still having actions. Two Occupy movements here in D.C. And it's true. I mean, if you go to those meetings and some of the spin-off meetings on criminal justice that I go to, there are folks kind of on the edge. And, you know, I just think that when you get, hopefully, several thousand people together, you can't certainly you certainly can't control everyone's behavior. And so Steve is right that there are some of the statements that some of the organizers have talked about divergent tactics, and others, most of them, who have statements on, you know, including, you know, No to NATO International says, you know, this is going to be nonviolent or family-friendly is what some of the Chicago organizers are using. But at the same time, they talk about divergent tactics. And I there's a corollary to one other thing that maybe is an interesting parallel, and I think it may have started with the CNVA news list. But you know, a lot of folks. Someone mentioned before that Move On is organizing or training for 100,000 people, and there's some people in the peace movement, the very traditional nonviolent groups, who are furious about it. It's very hard for me to understand why that's the case. Even you know, they're afraid they're being co-opted. And I wonder if there's some parallel to thinking about Chicago. You look at that list, and there are folks on that list as co-sponsors who we work with every day. And then there are folks on that list that are almost impossible for anybody to work with for more than a day. And I just don't know. You know, I would think personally, you know, if I was in Chicago, my tendency would be to go and kind of hold my breath a little bit that nobody was going to be really provocative. And I would weigh that against not going at all and feeling, well, that no one's heard what I had to say. So this is not a coherent position, but I just thought I might be able to expand a little bit on Steve's comments. And I don't know how PDA makes, well, I do know, but I don't know in this case how they would make a decision about endorsing or not, because we're certainly not on the list, at least as of today. And also, there's, you know, there has been some a couple days ago, there was a compromise reached between the organizers and the city about the march. So at least for now, there's an agreed-upon march without anyone else going to court or threatening anything else. But at the same time, you're right, Steve, in mentioning the atmosphere that the city government is pushing, you know, making arrangements to have cops come in from other cities. And then there's people concerned about, you know, regardless of what the city says, the Secret Service might have something to say since they'll be providing security for NATO officials. So I think it'll be tense no matter how you look at it. But, yeah, I think most I feel kind of tense at most demonstrations I go to, because you just never know who's going to be on the edge. It can make it difficult. And just hope that there are enough people around that you know, I've also seen situations, and we all have, where people have been provocative, but they've been kind of talked down, you know, by folks who are a little calmer and wiser. And I guess the bottom line is you can't control everything. And my own feeling would be is that I wouldn't see any reason why we wouldn't want to sign on to it. But that's a personal opinion. So anyway, those are the issues I see in Sally, and I think that's what you wanted me to talk about.
Thanks, Mark. Oh,
good. Sally, this is Steve. I just want to mention, Mark mentioned the 99% spring, and if people don't know, PDA is part of that.
Exactly.
I'm going to get trained on Sunday. I don't know if anybody else here signed on to it. It occurred to me that I could use a refresher course. But the main thing is I personally don't worry about any PDA or getting co-opted by Move On or anybody else. My experience with those of you that are active in PDA is that you're pretty able to think for yourselves, and you can take somebody's nonviolence training and then apply it to whatever you're interested in, not necessarily what secret agenda they're supposedly going to have. I don't actually think anybody has a secret agenda in this one, but I know there is that, as Mark said, there's a fear of co-optation, but I think most of the people getting trained are pretty skilled at
using tools for what they are interested in rather than what the organizer of the meeting is interested in. So I'm not too worried about that.
Agree.
Well, I appreciate this last comment. I'm fairly new with the BDA. I'm familiar. I believe I know what they do. But if there is any training or something such in this sort, I would like to have an idea where it is and how it will be.
Andrea, there may be a bunch of us on the line. Can you say anything quickly about the forum that gives us a chance to talk in between?
Well, the forum is available on the website, but in order to use the forum so that we don't get people selling stuff and doing scams, you actually have to create an account on PDA Community, and then you can go into the forum. The forum provides a permanent thread of conversations, so we don't empty it out every week. Whatever you put in the forum, people can reply to it, and it's just permanently inside the forum. So just on the homepage of PDA Community, there's an area where you can create an account, and then you'll go to that same area and log in. Once you log in, it's kind of like our own private version of Facebook, and you'll be free to go into the forum. And I'm going to suggest that people possibly use their email password or use a password that you aren't going to forget.
And if people have trouble with this, Andrea, what would you suggest? Should they maybe contact Virginia and me, since our emails are a little easy to find there?
Let me take a look, because, yeah, that's probably what you're going to have to do, because my contact information is on the national site. What I'll do is I'll get something on Community, but I'm not sure where I'm going to put it.
Okay. I really value the idea that we could pass our ideas back and forth, maybe things we talked about tonight together or some new idea, and so that it's not just once a month that we're talking to each other. So
you're right, and that's what's great about forums.
Also, if there's anybody on the call right now that didn't say their name at the beginning, I would love to have people's names that were on the call tonight. As you exit, if you would just say your name and where you're from, that would be great. Maybe there's a few people like that. Okay, well, maybe not. And
all right.
Dr. Bill. I've been
Hi, Dr.
Place.
Bill.
Hi.
You've been with us for a while?
Yep.
Good. I think you once said that your congressman might be like number one hardest in the country to sign on the 780. Do I have that right?
No, actually, it's probably the other way around, because mine will vote against anything that Obama is for.